This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting, scientifically proven to be three times more entertaining than waxing your grandmother.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Waxing your grandmother?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I never waxed my grandmother, but it could be more entertaining. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm one of the people that they refer to in the title. Sit back, relax, I'll take it from here. You just sit there and shut up. How about that idea? Sounds good to me. What were you doing? What were you doing before you decided to listen to this? What were you doing? Tell me. What were you doing? All right, that's enough theme music. Thank you. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show possible. Well, first there's you. Thanks. And then there's our announcer, John Shanahan, comedian, writer, does many of the comedy bits on this program. And then, oh my God, Jason Shaw, who does the opening theme and the closing theme and many little incidental music things that happen during the program. He does that. He composes that, man. He's a good man. And then there's Nicole Reed, who is the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She books many of the national acts. It's hardly an act. The national interviews that we do on this program. I don't book acts. A-C-T-S. You have a juggler coming on in a few minutes. You're going to enjoy the juggler. Then I have a pantomime artist. You'll enjoy that too. It's radio, man. Okay, welcome. How are you? Good to be with you. Thanks for being here. This is the kind of relationship that I like. I talk to you and you can't talk back. If you do, I can't hear you. This is a perfect relationship, the perfect storm of relationships. Thank you so much. This is the second day of temperatures under 90 degrees where I live. It's been 90 degrees every single day here since 1927, longest heat wave in history. They make a joke about you can crack an egg on the sidewalk. It's so hot that the egg would fry on the sidewalk. Well, it's been so hot that the sidewalks are frying by themselves. It's crazy, man. Climate change? Yeah. Everything's more extreme. Have you noticed that? All the storms, the heat, the cold, everything is more extreme. We're breaking records every day all over the world. Incredible. And yet, no. For a while, we were more concerned about the Kardashians. Yeah, that was the focus. Bruce Jenner? Kylie Jenner? My God, the world is falling apart. Not for that reason. Yes, but not specifically for that reason. Anyway, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to cut it short. Have a good day. Bye-bye. No, I can't do that. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. We're going to be talking about going back to school. If you're out of school and you're an adult, you're not going back to school unless you're taking a special course at a college. Other than that, or a community college, which really I wouldn't tell people you went there. That's the problem with community colleges. They're wonderful places. You can learn just as much as you can at Harvard, as far as I'm concerned. The Harvard professors don't even teach. Have you noticed that? They just put them on the payroll so they can sound prestigious. They don't even teach classes. Associates do that. I'm serious, man. Check it out. Not that you will. Community college is just as good, but I wouldn't tell anybody that I went to one. It's just, it's prestige-wise, it does. See, the whole college thing is, has nothing to do with what you know or what you learned. It has to do with how prestigious the college was that you went to. If you went to college at all, that's something. But I would just leave it at that, you know, unless it's a Harvard or a Yale or a Princeton or that kind of crap. Or an MIT or a IUD, whatever. But if it was a community college, I'd just shut up at that point. Do you have a college? Are you interested in this job?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a college degree?
Yes, I do.
Where'd you go to college?
Yeah, it's not important. You don't have to know that.
It was a community college, wasn't it?
Yes,
it was Bob's Community College in Akron, Ohio. Oh, God, seriously? Did they have enough money to make diplomas? If they did, I wouldn't display it.
I know.
That's all people can afford. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with community college. I think it's wonderful. That way you can actually locally go on with your life and go to school. I think it's wonderful. Community college should be like on the top of the list, not on the bottom. But it is embarrassing, so don't do that. Go, but don't say that you are. Don't use it as a... You're going to school? I'm going to college. Where are you going? Bob's? Oh. Okay, bye. Anyway, kids are going back to school. Those are the little adults that are running around that don't have jobs yet and live in your house. Those are called kids. They're going back to school. Some of them look forward to it. Most of them don't. You know who doesn't look forward to going back to school? Teachers. Yeah, I'm serious, man. Yeah, why am I calling you man all the time? What the hell is going on with that? I've never done that before. Teachers. No. Teaching is very difficult, and the reason that it's very difficult is the kids. If the kids would just sit down and shut up and let the teacher teach, teachers would be very happy with that. But no, teachers have to be challenged, not only by the children, but also by their own administration in the school. Are you teaching well? What are you doing? What are you saying? Are you doing? Shut up and let me teach. I have a diploma to teach from Bob's school in Akron, Ohio. Let the teachers teach and make the students shut up. If you have to gag them and tie them to their chairs in the classroom, I have no problem with that. You're not hurting anybody by tying them up in a chair. Not privately, publicly in a school where it's sanctioned. I mean, seriously, if kids would just shut up and let the teachers teach, everybody would be happy. But the teachers have to battle the students day and night. It's awful. Teachers, man, they are truly the heroes. Well, there are a lot of jobs with heroes, actually. There are quite a few. Any job that I don't want to do, that they do, to me, they're a hero. Yeah. I mean, when I think about my childhood and I think about school, I think about the teachers that impressed me, who I thought were like really wonderful people, who made an impression. Something that they said may not even have been in the curriculum that they were teaching, but they may have said something in that classroom that just stuck with me for my whole life. And teachers should understand that even though they're not paid at the top of the scale, and even though they are ridiculed by their own children and their own administration, there are those lives that they've touched is just like on the top of the charts. It's just, I had a few teachers that I remember fondly. I remember almost all of my teachers. The only thing I do remember from my childhood. But some of them really made an impression on me, in some cases more than my parents even did. So teachers, man, I take my hat off to you. I mean, that's all I'm going to take off, by the way. Just my hat. But that's considerable. Otherwise, I wouldn't have taken that hat off. Yeah, kids are going back to school. I don't know. Do you need pencils and pens anymore? I don't know what they write with now. Do they just digitally touch things? I don't know what I have. No, I haven't been to school in a long time. I don't know how they do this. I don't. I think everything's done on computers now. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm an old school kind of guy, basically because of my age. But I'm old school. Everything worked fine. Everything was fine. There's no problems. You take a piece of chalk, you write on a blackboard. Yeah, at the end of the day, you have to wash the blackboard down, but you have one of those lackey kids, you know, who are... they'll do it. They'll do it. You know, they just want extra points, or they feel good washing down the board for the teacher. Whatever makes you feel good, I don't care. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. Now everything's electronic and it has to be there. The only thing I like about technology now in schools are the cameras, the closed circuit cameras, where you can see what's going on in the classroom and in the hallways. That I think was always necessary. You know where they really need those closed circuit cameras? And some systems have them, most don't. Closed circuit cameras on the school buses. More crap happens on the school buses. You know, let me tell you something. Just shut up and let me talk for a second. The real education is not in the classroom. It's the socialization of your child in a public situation. I didn't do well because I don't really care for human beings all that much. I have no great desire to be amongst them on a regular basis. Here and there, yeah, that's kind of fun. But on a regular basis, being surrounded by people, no, just not for me, that's all. Your kid being socialized at a young age is kind of more important than what they learn. Believe me. I can tolerate an idiot that doesn't know much. But if they act like a blithering idiot socially, I will walk the other way and let you live your own life. I'm not putting you down. I'm not going to insult you like the former president did. I'm just going to leave you alone to lead your own life in your own world. You need not connect with me. I need not connect with you. That's okay. You know, I used to get mad at stupid people because I thought that they were obliterating the intelligence of the earth. As I got older, I realized, who cares? Whatever. You live your life as a blithering idiot. That's fine with me. Just kind of don't come near me, that's all. I'm not going to hurt you. You're not going to hurt me. We're going to coexist. But with a distance. Let's make believe it's an extreme COVID and you can't come close to me or anything. Can't touch my surfaces. You can't be within a 6-foot range of me. Don't breathe or I'm going to wear a mask because I'm going to wear earplugs because I don't want to hear you either. That's called social distancing, kids. Yeah, anyway, back to school. Man, back to school. What is this, the second week of August now, and we're already like delving into the, some schools start up the last week of August, some even earlier in the heat of the summer. That's wonderful. Just occupy the kids. You know, to many people, the school system is nothing but a babysitter. And you know what? It's not so bad. It's not a bad concept. These school systems take your children for most of the day, and they encompass them, and they watch them, and they're somewhat responsible for them. And then you can go off and, you know, have sex with your neighbor, whatever the case may be. Or go do a job if you want to, if you have to. I think you do. It gives the adult some freedom. These kids that are homeschooled, I don't know. There are certain reasons that a child would be homeschooled. I get it, for physical disabilities or mental disabilities, whatever the case may be, or some issue that has occurred in the public school system that you are not happy with, or there's a financial consideration, whatever the case may be. Homeschooling is, I don't know. I don't know many people that were homeschooled. So I can't say that they are weirder than other people or smarter. I don't know. But I think the parent sacrifices his or her life to homeschool. And I don't think the child wants to be taught by his or her parents. Ouch. That's like way too much. That's way too much of one person. That's a dependency that just goes beyond. So I like the public school thing. I hated it, but I think it was important for one's development. I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it one more time, and then I won't say it again until the next show. The number one thing that occurs in schools that I am so pissed about is bullying. I have said this before, and I'll say it again. If a child, and I don't care if you're a child or an adult or an embryo, I don't care what age you are, if you put your hands on another person or mentally taunt them, that is a crime. That's an invasion in one's privacy, and the perpetrator should learn from an early school age that will not be tolerated under any circumstances. Any circumstances. And if a child continually bullies another child, that bully child should be jailed. I'm serious. There should be repercussions when a child bullies another child. And now that we have these technologies that can record the actual situation, because if you tell a mother, you know, your child is a bully, the mother will say, not my child. No, no, not my child. My child doesn't do that. My child would not bully somebody else. Oh, yeah? Watch this video, and then you show them. Bullying is, I cannot tolerate that. Now, I wasn't bullied. I was a tall kid. They didn't touch me. I sat in the back of the room. But at the same time, I've seen it, and it's just excruciatingly awful. And just to let somebody bully somebody else, it's not a slap on the wrist. It's jail time, as far as I'm concerned. That's when a child has to have the same repercussions as an adult does, because that is not allowed on any level, way, shape, or form. You cannot touch somebody else in a violent assault manner. Thank you so much for joining. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, my guest will join us. She happens to be a pediatrician, and it's a little confusing as to how a child should handle this. We're a little bit more aware of these sicknesses and diseases in public now, aren't we? Because of that COVID thing. You familiar with the COVID thing? Should I go into that? Do you know what that is? I guess millennials don't. No, that happened like a couple of years ago. I don't know where you were. That was a big deal. People were dying. Hello? You didn't know that? Oh, my God. Listen to the news every once in a while. Weren't you even curious why people were wearing masks all over the place? Didn't that, like, no? You didn't think that was odd? Really? Are you serious? Wow. Talk about stupid. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More program. I don't know what you do in your spare time, and I really don't care. But there's a place just down the street that's pretty cool, in a way.
Looking for a fun night out? Check out that bar near your house, now featuring live entertainment all weekend. Friday night, it's one guy and a guitar playing 90s cover tunes and original songs about his recent breakup. Catch a dose of classic rock on Saturday nights with that band fronted by that chick you knew in high school who's still pretty hot after a couple drinks. Sunday afternoons, it's three old guys and a hipster doing their very best to play jazz. And don't miss the big hot Sunday dance party with your DJ, the bartender's second wife's stepson with those weird things in his ears. It's all happening this weekend at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Dr. Preethi Parikh joins us now. She is Executive Medical Director at GoodRx and a board-certified pediatrician practicing in New York, my favorite place. Thanks for being with us today, Doctor.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's time to talk about going back to school for the kids. Yay.
Oh, my goodness. I know.
But it's not just books and maybe some new pants. It's more than that, isn't it?
Yes, especially after the last 2 years, what our children have been through. And so it's really important to address not only their physical health and their academics, but their mental and social emotional health.
Yes, all those come into play. Physically, I guess it depends on the school district as to what their medical requirements might be, because in some places they're still in place. Is that correct?
Yes. In terms of immunizations, making sure you talk to your pediatrician and your school district to see what's required. Sometimes each state and cities and schools, and then they decide what they are requiring for the children to come back to school and what immunizations. So it's important to check that.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it important for a child to see the pediatrician or the family doctor before they return? Does it require a phone call? How do you handle that as far as that subject is concerned?
I usually recommend doing an in-person visit because there's a lot of things that can happen in the pediatrician's office, discussions that sometimes will be better in person than on the phone. I recommend using your pediatrician as an ally and an advocate. So instead of you being the only one nagging your child about eating healthy, cutting out screen time, getting good sleep, you use your pediatrician as an ally to help really promote those healthy habits and explain to your child why it's important for their health. And then also use them as an advocate and touch base with them. And say your child has some learning disabilities or have medical conditions like asthma or severe allergies so that they can help you make sure that the school is prepared and has everything needed so that your child can have a healthy school year. So it would be great, and I always recommend to get that in-person visit before school starts.
Interesting. That's physical. Also physical is stress. A lot of people think, no, Ron, that's mental. No, it's physical too.
That's a really great point. Yeah, you can actually manifest or exhibit symptoms of stress
through
physical health. So your child may be saying, I have stomach pains. I feel like I need to throw up, or my heart feels like it's racing so bad. Those are all physical symptoms that are actually could be due to stress or anxiety that your child is presenting with these physical symptoms because of that.
Yeah. It's the screen time is become so much more prevalent. We wouldn't have talked about this like 20 years ago. Maybe we have. But I don't know if you were a doctor 20 years ago. But,
I was.
Okay, all right.
Get it up there.
Oh, really? It didn't sound like it. Anyway, this is a conversation, too. It's changing the summer mind into the get-to-work school mind. That's not an easy transition either.
Yeah, and especially because of COVID, a lot of schools have to turn to screens for academic purposes and socially too. Since kids were out of school, a lot of parents have told me that they wouldn't have necessarily let their child be on screens as much, but COVID actually kind of pushed them forward a little bit more than they wanted to, and now it's the time to kind of pull back and get us back into a better system of making sure that our children have screen-free time. Because it's really important that they have time, that they are sleeping well, that they're exercising, and they're socializing in person, playing sports. Get back onto the soccer field, baseball field, basketball, and get off those screens. So a couple things that families can do at home is, obviously, as an example, parents, too, and family members, everyone do this together. There are, three times that I usually recommend during a day. One is during meals. During mealtime, everyone get those electronics off the table and engage with each other. Another great time during the school year, especially when they're studying for tests or doing homework, to kind of take those electronics, those iPads or tablets and phones, out of the room that they're studying in to make sure they don't get distracted. And then an hour before sleep, there's a lot of data out there that shows, you know, that blue light and stimulation to kind of let your body decompress, read a good book, meditate, get your child into a rhythm of an hour before bed just to kind of chill out and talk to your child and read a book to them. Those are great ways to cut out some screen time.
You know, what's interesting to me is that everything that you're saying also applies to teachers and people, and people who work in the school systems. They're going through the exact same stuff as the children, especially mentally, and as far as attitude is concerned, but even physically. I mean, God, it's just the same.
Yeah, I always, I mean, I had these conversations even with my children about, you know, I myself have to practice these things that I'm telling them to do, because all the stress and the just dealing with the day-to-day is making sure that you take care of yourself. And so for teachers, too, they've been through a lot and so grateful for everything they've done for our children. And they've been through a lot of stress. It has not been easy for them. And they've been manifesting also, like as we talked about, stress comes out in different ways. It's not just mental. It comes out in physical symptoms. And so making sure the teachers that we also acknowledge and make sure that they're getting the rest that they need.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. After the first day of school, that's always a, you know, a pivotal day. When the kids come home and you're eating dinner, what should a parent say to the child? Do you talk about the first day of school? How deep into it do you go? How important is it to do that?
It's great to open up a conversation, and sometimes if you just ask them, like, well, how was your first day? You're probably going to get, it was good.
Yeah.
So if there is a way to kind of, you can talk about a specific friend or ask specific questions, like, so how it was, must be nice to see Joe today. How was that after not seeing him all summer? Did he have a good summer? Mm-hmm. Did you guys play together? Or you could talk about in school, how were you guys set up? Try to ask a little bit more specific questions to help engage. And also, you know what, you could talk about, you know, oh, it was my first day seeing my friend from your school, and it was nice to catch up and kind of segue into how your first day of you also being a parent coming back to school, and trying to engage in that instead of just asking, well, how was your first day of school? And then let them, you know, you also don't want to push too much if they don't want to share too much. Give them some time. But it is important to start those conversations and let them know that you're there to talk.
Good idea. Yeah, there's a difference between asking questions and having a conversation, isn't there?
Yes, and that's why sometimes it's easier if you talk about your day.
Yes.
And kind of start segueing, like, oh, you know, and how you were nervous to see, you know, or you could express those emotions. I was nervous to see all the friends from after the summer. I haven't seen them, and so, but it was so nice to see.
There you go.
So those are some tips that you can try to kind of make it more conversational than just asking questions.
Very cool. All right, where can we go on this this internet thing that I've heard about? Where do we go? I know there's good advice from GoodRx as well.
Yes, if you could check us out on goodrx.com/health, you will find trusted information. We really differentiate ourselves because all of our content is created and reviewed by doctors, pharmacists, and healthcare experts to make sure we get you the best information. And then if your child or anybody in your family members need prescription medication, we're really there at goodrx.com to make sure you can afford medicines and your healthcare at a price that you can afford and you can get what you need. So please check us out.
Perfect. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today. Well, that'll do it for me today, I do believe. I have that feeling. But before we do, there are many people, as you know, we do this every once in a while. There are people who, how can I put it, believe in the horoscope and those that predict the future, and they live by that. So for those people, there's this.
Greetings, fellow planetary travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting horoscopescape for the month. Let's take a look and see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, the stars would like to apologize in advance for what's going to happen this month and to remind you that on some people, scars are quite becoming. Pisces, avoid people named Philip this month, especially Philips who ask if you'd like to see the machete collection they keep in their sub-basement. Aries, you'll spend some quality time at home this month thanks to not noticing the difference between a Hershey bar and a chocolate laxative. Remember to courtesy flush. Taurus, for some reason, true love and back-alley flamenco dance lessons go hand in hand this month. Gemini, your plans to become a professional wrestler take a turn for the worse this month when you realize that you and tights just don't mix. Although the mask works, so maybe keep the dream alive. Cancer, this is the month you finally discover how many tomatoes you can fit in your mouth at once. Unfortunately, it will be against your will. Leo, do not accept pigs from strangers. It may seem like a good way to get free bacon, but it will only lead to a bad case of demonic possession. Virgo, a double espresso, a croissant, and a fake Lithuanian accent are all you need for success this month. Don't ask me how. Scorpio, this month, wear a cup. Everywhere. You never know. Sagittarius, you'll have a chance to drive a Zamboni this month. You will be drunk, and the police will be chasing you, and there's a good chance shots will be fired, but whee, a Zamboni! Capricorn, take every fortune cookie you read this month very literally. It could save your life or the life of someone you love. Oh, ignore the lucky numbers, though. That's just made-up nonsense. I'm Kip Starchild, and that's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Make good choices. Peace.
The funniest word in the world is Zamboni. I don't know why. It's a truck on the ice. But at the same time, it's so funny. Zamboni. Say it to yourself 1,000 times. It's a good time. Zamboni. Zamboni. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Be back again tomorrow. Join me then. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace. Zamboni! Zamboni.
Whatever.